Let us pray. Holy One, you who calls us into life, please be with me and with all of us as we search for your life-giving ways in these old and new words. Amen. So did you spring out of bed this morning? Did you skip through the parking lot on your way to church? Did you dance down the aisle on the way to your seat? If so, good for you. I didn't. I'm still a bit stiff from the half marathon last week. But as I hear, perhaps not as stiff as Norm ought to be, from who reporter accounts say walked at least 50 kilometers last Sunday, uphill, in a snowstorm, while singing the Psalms in Latin. What a legend. I think Norm actually deserves a round of applause just for making it in this morning, so thank you. So, no leaping clergy this morning, but we do get some leaping in our gospel reading. Thanks to the lay supervision team, we just experienced the story of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who called out for Jesus, and when Jesus called back, he sprang up off the ground and threw off his cloak. In the first English translation of the Bible, John Wycliffe actually translated this as, "He skipped as he came before Jesus." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks. "My teacher, let me see again." "Go, your faith has made you well." His sight is restored, and the scene ends with Bartimaeus following Jesus out of Jericho. And he lived happily ever after. There's a fairy tale quality to the story, isn't there? It's kind of like the ending of the book of Job. After the cosmic game of poker played by God and Satan over his life, Job acknowledges the power and sovereignty of God, and he is plucked up from his ash pit and restored to everything he was before and more. He is richer, healthier, has more goats apparently, has more kids who are way hotter than the last ones. His days are full. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he lives happily ever after. Bartimaeus and Job seem to be exemplars of the life of faith. Do not deviate, we are told, even in the face of pain and suffering. Hold on to your faith, and things will turn out all right for you in the end. Now, I've read enough fairy tales to my boys to know that there is a lot going on in them. They are rich in symbolism and can take us to places of profound depth. Cinderella is a story of the power of inner beauty. Alice in Wonderland illustrates the importance of imagination and creativity. Wizard of Oz is the universal quest for compassion and courage and wisdom and a sense of home. Pull back the lens, the writer beckons, and see what's really going on here. And I think the gospel writer Mark is inviting us to do the same thing. When we pull back the lens, we see that the story of Bartimaeus is at the end of a very long story arc in Mark's gospel. It began way back in chapter 8 with Jesus asking Peter, "And who do you say that I am?" Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, but gets it completely wrong, doesn't understand what that means. "Get behind me, Satan." Do you remember that? Then Jesus and the disciples start making a long journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, and Mark tells a series of stories to reveal the true nature of the Messiah and what it means to follow him. There's the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus is revealed as a luminous figure standing amongst other luminous figures of the Jewish faith. In another story, Jesus picks up a little child and tells his disciples, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." He follows this up with the hard moral message: if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. We then hear of the rich young man who is told to sell what you own and give that money to the poor and then come and follow me. A little further down the road, Jesus settles a squabble between the disciples, saying that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. "I have come not to be served, but to serve. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another? Do you see a pattern? Do you see where we are going? Do you see that wealth and status and power have no currency in the kingdom that I am building? Do you see? This whole story arc in Mark's gospel takes place on the way, literally on the road from Galilee to Jerusalem. And the interaction with Bartimaeus is the last stop. Jesus and the disciples are in Jericho, only one day's journey to Jerusalem. Turn the page in Mark's gospel, and it's Palm Sunday, with Jesus riding into the holy city on a colt and hosannas ringing through the stone streets. It has been a long journey, and the anticipation is ramping up. The disciples are ready to roll, leaping into action for the triumphant conclusion to their quest. Despite Jesus' repeated attempts, they do not yet see clearly where they are going. In their eyes, their time of glory is at hand. The conquering heroes walking into the great city, that sounds pretty good. And then there is a voice from the grimy stone streets, a wild voice, a desperate voice. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Please, please help me. Right on the edge of Holy Week, a single voice rings out from the margins. Have mercy on me. The disciples try to silence Bartimaeus. Oh, would you just be quiet? Can't you see we're busy here? Can't you see how important and righteous and holy our quest is? Can't you see? But Jesus stops. Call him here, he says. And in a moment of joy and abandon, the blind man jumps up and leaves his cloak behind. Leaves his cloak behind. Not just a cloak, his cloak. As a beggar, he leaves behind his single most important possession, his shelter from the elements, his security, his identity. In a moment, he leaves his whole world behind and follows Jesus. In a single moment, Bartimaeus plays out in real time what 1,000 promises could never do. In a moment, he figures out what the disciples could not, despite traveling for weeks beside Jesus all the way from Galilee. Mark ends this chapter of his gospel with a story about physical blindness to drive home Jesus' message about spiritual blindness, about those things that weigh us down, that hold us back from answering God's call. At the sound of Jesus' voice, Bartimaeus throws off his former life like a cloak on stone. At the sound of his voice, he follows the Messiah into Jerusalem with eyes now clear. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton says that here is the thing that God has willed for me. It is in giving myself that I shall find him, and in him is everlasting life. What is God's will for you? What is God calling you to do? And what is holding you back from answering that call? What in your life needs to be thrown off like a cloak on stone? These are questions that I am being confronted with in my life. And the nature of ministry internship is that I'm confronted with these questions in real time, and my struggles are played out in front of you. Like the disciples some time ago, I answered a call from Jesus, and I have been following him on the way. And for the past 6 years, I've been building up knowledge and skills. I have written countless academic papers, and I have submitted myself to rigorous testing by the various courts of the church. I've put strain on my family and relationships and my own health. But from Galilee to Jericho, I have followed Jesus. And now I am here at Jubilee United Church, last stop before the holy city. My eyes are on the prize, graduation from Emmanuel College, ordination in the United Church of Canada, Reverend Jason Francis Meyer. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And then there is a voice from the grimy stone streets, a wild voice, a desperate voice. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, help me. I cannot see. Jesus, I can't do this. I'm scared. Would you just be quiet? Can't you see I'm busy here? Can't you see how important and righteous and holy I'm trying to be? Can't you see? The voice of Bartimaeus is an internal voice. It is a voice coming from within me, but it's not a part of me that I want to be heard, not by you, not by anyone. That voice reveals too much. That voice is too vulnerable. That is not the voice of a man or a minister, and so I tell it to shut up. I build walls and protections around myself rather than reveal my heart. I quote Thomas Merton, and I stand behind a pulpit. I separate myself, and my cloak gets heavier. I stop leaping, and I can't remember the last time I danced. Following Jesus is costly. Do you not see where we are going? He asked the disciples. Three times on the way from Galilee to Jerusalem, three times he tells them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will flog him and mock him and spit on him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Following Jesus is costly because before we get to Easter Sunday, we must go through Good Friday. We must wait in the darkness of Holy Saturday, not knowing when or even if the dawn will break. This is not a happily ever after story. There is always more on the next page, but there is a hope, a radical and countercultural hope, because our faith tells us that resurrection happens. But here's the thing, resurrection happens in the darkness. Christ is transformed in a tomb where no light shines. Blind Bartimaeus sees clearer than anyone. It is in the margins of our lives, in the fear and pain of the dark night of the soul, that we see most clearly, that we hear Christ's call to us. What in your life needs to be thrown off like a cloak on stone? God's will for us is to be free. What is holding you back? God's will for us is to be luminous. What is basketing your light? We are called to be beloved children, partners in the kingdom that is always coming, heralds of justice and righteousness, apostles of love. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What burdens you? What are you carrying that can be set down? For me, it is a sometimes paralyzing fear of not being good enough, not being smart enough, not having the right words. And so I hide behind the trappings of my vocation and what I think a minister ought to be. I hesitate to take chances because I am afraid of looking incapable or foolish. I second-guess God's will, and I miss the voices calling out for healing from within the community and within myself. Jesus, have mercy on me. One of the great gifts of ministry internship is that we enter publicly into a covenantal relationship. You and me and all of us, we make promises to each other. I promise to serve as best as I can, and you promise to support as best as you can. And collectively, we seek to answer God's call to ministry here in this place and beyond this place. Mark tells us that when Jesus heard Bartimaeus call to him, he stopped what he was doing, stood still, and asked how he could help. This is the promise I hope we can make for each other. in this ministry, that we hear each other, that we stop for each other, that we break down the barriers we use to protect ourselves and truly see each other as beloved children of God, helping, holding, leaping into life, dancing in the darkness, following the light of Christ. Let us turn towards the great city as disciples and friends, our eyes clear and our cloaks left behind in a heap. Let us pray. Holy One, sometimes the words do fail. Sometimes we don't know where to go. Sometimes we feel unprepared, not good enough. But we know that in your grace, in your love, we are always enough. We are always luminous and beautiful. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this community. We thank you for your Jesus. Amen.